Hello, everybody. You are listening to a special double podcast today. I finished my last episode three, a few minutes ago, and I decided, heck, why not do another episode? I've got 168 kilometers before I get to my cabin, so why not pump a little ABBA as my bumper music for episode four, and we can talk all about travel style. I don't know if this is a term that has already existed, but it's kind of something I've been thinking about a lot the last few trips that I've taken, and thinking about other trips that I've taken with other people. So for me, when you travel, everybody's got their own travel style, whether they know it or not, you know. And I think it boils down to what they want to get out of the trip and how they want to, what level of comfort and activities that they want to do on the trip. So for example, I'll just give you a quick example. So you meet some people and they want to stay at a nice luxury resort, be on a beach, sip a fruity drink, and just lay in the sun, and that's an awesome trip for them. And you know, and I'm not laying any judgments on anybody's travel style, and I don't think we should. It's everybody's got their own set of wants and needs, and when they travel, they should be able to get those needs met. And so that could be one travel style. For myself, I'd love to do that, but I can only do it for about a day, and then I just kind of get restless and bored. So I need to just be like moving and seeing as much stuff as possible and meeting people and stuff like that. For somebody else, that might just sound awful. Just constantly getting on, planes, trains, and buses and cars and ferries and all that stuff and moving around, and it just seems too hectic. And you know, everybody's got like a busy life, and so they, like laying on the beach sounds awesome to one person, and moving around and seeing a lot of stuff might sound awesome to another person. Another example of travel style is, your level of luxury. So I've got friends that, love to go someplace and find like the best restaurant, like a Michelin-starred restaurant, and just have that like amazing food experience, or stay at a really cool hotel and like finding those really cool, boutique hotels or something like that. Like that just really gets them going, and that's cool. And kudos to those people. But for me, all I can think, and me just being a cheap bastard, all I can think about is, for the price of this one night at this hotel, I could stay at hostels for like, 3 weeks or something. And for the price of this one meal, I could, eat for 10 days or something like that. I mean, that might be extreme, but, so there's like level of luxury, there's, kind of activities and what you want to do. For myself, I think I want a mix of four basic things. I'll call them my four food groups for a good trip. One is fun and party. Number two is history and culture. Number three is relaxation. And number four is, I'll say relaxation and kind of almost like a quasi-spiritual type of experience. And number four is what I would call like an authentic experience. And so I'll kind of go into each one of these. So the first two are pretty simple. Like number one, what did I say was number one? So partying. So I'm at that age where I can't like party like a crazy rock star like I did in my 20s. I had my moments, let's just say that. Back in the day, back when my friend John and I were living in Tokyo, pretty much every Saturday night, he would take the train in from Kanagawa Prefecture into the city, and we would go out clubbing. And when you go out clubbing in Tokyo, the trains end at midnight, and so you're out all night until the trains start up again at 6, because taking a taxi home is prohibitively expensive. So we would just do that, and then literally the next morning we would stumble out of a club, go to like a Mo's Burger or something like that and get like a shrimp burger and some fries just to fill our stomachs up, and then take, sometimes John would go back home, or sometimes he would like just crash in my apartment. When I started working on Sundays, I would do that, and then I would have to work the next day, and I wouldn't have enough time to go basically back to my apartment and shower. So I would literally just get about half an hour to an hour of sleep on the train. I would just ride the Yamanote line around the city for a loop, and then go into my school and literally sponge bath in the bathroom, and then teach an 8-hour day. And that was insane. I can't even imagine doing that these days. Like, I don't even know how we did it. Like, it's just, and we would do that almost every weekend. We would do stuff like, when the Ducks were playing, we would have real audio, and we'd stay up all night, and the game would start at 4 a.m. Tokyo time, and we'd be sitting in my tiny little apartment drinking beers, listening to the Ducks play the Beavers or something. And, that was like, that was the days when I had enough stamina to really like party it up. These days, I still like to go out and have drinks and stuff, but it's not the same level. But you meet people on a trip, and I think if you hit it off and they're cool people and stuff, you want to throw back a few beers with them. And that's fun for me, and it doesn't have to be wild and crazy. Like the other night I mentioned in, I think, episode 2, I went out with this guy I met, Sabi, and like we probably had like 2 beers. Just a side note, beer, Norway, what is wrong with you? Beer should not be $10 a beer at a bar. That's just crazy. So need to do something about that. I know everything's expensive in Norway, but that's just criminal. So anyway, partying as food group number one. Some people when they go on a trip, that's all they want to do. Like, I have friends that their favorite thing to do is go to Vegas and just get wild and crazy, and or go to Mexico and do the same. Or, there's party spots all around the world. If that's what you want and that's what you're looking for, like, that's your travel style, and you should just embrace it and be like, I love to party, and like, that's my thing. But for me, I like a little bit of that, but I like a little bit from my other 4 food groups. So history and culture. I like history, and I like seeing old things, and I like learning about people's culture, and visiting ruins and going to museums and stuff. Now, I don't like to overdo it, because after a while you get just like culture overload, and there's only so much you can absorb. And so these days, I like to kind of do a museum or two, do some cultural sites. I love old castles and fortresses and things like that. I just think they're cool, and I love just kind of envisioning what things were like back in centuries ago. I like connecting the dots from stuff that I've read in books and in history classes. So I like culture, and there's people that, again, so maybe their travel style is doing a cultural tour of Europe or something, which can be super rewarding. But just like anything else, for me personally, you can do too much of it, and then you just have to like do something else. If I went to the Louvre in Paris, and that was great, and I'm really glad I went, but afterwards I was exhausted, and I was like, I just need to like get something to eat and like walk around and get some fresh air and stuff like that, and not think about stuff. I think nowadays, I used to read all the exhibits and everything and just try to absorb as much information as possible. And now it's just more like, I'm going to sound cheesy when I say this, but it's just like communing with whatever it is, whether it's a temple or a mosque or a ruin or a fortress or something like that. I just like to feel it and observe it. And if I want to know more, I can always just like look it up on Wikipedia later or watch a documentary or something. There's so much on my mind when I'm on these trips that I can't really absorb too much information because most of my brain is occupied just with like, okay, where am I staying tonight and where do I have to do tomorrow and stuff. So history and culture is super important for me. And I think a trip without at least some of that is not complete. I was walking around the botanical gardens yesterday and they were doing this. I'm not sure what it was, but it was like old Norse herbology, and there was these women dressed in like period clothing, and they were like mixing up herbs and boiling them and then making this sort of like soup, I would call it. It had like parsnips and potato and carrot and these different herbs and stuff, because we're in the botanical garden, so they're talking about like the different plants and stuff. And I tried a little cup of this stuff and it was delicious, and it like kind of transported me to I guess an earlier time in this region, you know. It just like, oh, this is like what these people ate and this is kind of how they lived. So that was kind of a just cool little surprise. So history and culture, food group number two. So food group number three would just be relaxation. So that's just the laying on the beach. Well, okay, what did I say? I said relaxation and spirituality. For those of you that don't know me, I'm more or less an atheist. I grew up Jewish. I did a bar mitzvah and all that stuff, but I later became pretty agnostic. And then now I would consider myself an atheist. I'm just more of, not even an atheist, it's more of just like a rationalist. It's very hard for me to just believe in things without evidence. But I recognize that there's, a limit to our understanding. And so we've got to fill in the gaps somehow. And so I believe it's possible to have a kind of a spirituality. And for me, the best way I can sort of describe it is just like a humility. It's just, I'm going to live my whole life and there'll be a million things that I'll never know in this lifetime. And so the best thing I can do is just to just recognize that I'm just a small little being on this magnificent universe and blah, 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 blah. And you'll always be left wondering what else is out there and never get answers to that. And I'm okay with that. So how does this relate to, laying on a beach? Okay. Well, laying on a beach, is not the only thing you can do. I mean, you can go on a hike and go into nature. And like when I was in Iceland, this was a big part of Iceland for me and New Zealand, was just the natural beauty. And I'm not ashamed to say I had times where I literally broke down because I just felt in awe. Like driving around Iceland was like being on another planet. And I remember taking this hike up to this sort of ravine where I think there was like a glacier. There used to be a glacier there or something. It looked like it was carved out by a glacier. I have no idea. It was on the south coast somewhere on Iceland. And I was the only person around me for miles. And I just had this like awestruck moment where it was like, you know, I saw my place in the universe kind of thing. And I had similar moments in other places and New Zealand. Actually, I had a similar moment in the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. You know, it was really quiet and it wasn't a religious thing. But it was just this beautiful, beautiful building with this stained glass, and it was so peaceful and just like, just trying to comprehend how humans could even make something that, that beautiful. Is kind of like similar feeling. I had a similar feeling in the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. It just, it's almost like, how could anyone possibly even imagine this, this structure? You know, it's just so intricate and ornate, and but yet it seems organic in a way. So you just have these moments for me that are very spiritual. But there's also the relaxing part of it too, where, you know, just taking time to do nothing and just to sit and relax and just unwind. And I think I understand the people that just want to lay on a beach for their trips or their vacation, because, you know, the stressful work day and the pace that we work at, especially in American society, just makes it really hard to just hear yourself or just to clear your mind. So relaxation and spirituality, or if you just want to pick one or the other, or kind of have your own version of it, whatever that means to you, for me, that's like 25% of like my travel style is getting some of that. And then the last one is an authentic experience. I guess what I mean by that is, you know, it's like meeting locals and having more than just, you know, like you're at a store buying something, like having like more of a meaningful conversation where you forget that you're a visitor, that you're not just a tourist, but you're another human being, interacting with another human being from a different place in a different culture, but yet you're having some sort of shared experience. And so like examples of that would be, you know, getting invited to someone's home and having a meal is like the best. And, you know, it's not easy to do, especially when you're on this tourist track and stuff. So it getting invited to somebody's home, you know, making friends in like a, you know, like a public place, like let's say you're out at a bar and then you meet some locals and you start partying with them. So it's kind of a mix of like authentic and party buckets right there. Having some kind of spontaneous discovery, like I think an authentic experience is anything where you get the opportunity to leave the beaten path and kind of go off on your own, and you get to experience something unique. And it's not always easy to do. And sometimes when, you know, you're staying at a nice hotel or a luxury resort or something like that, like those kinds of places can feel very insulated. And you can have conversations with like the wait staff or whatever, but, you know, it's more of like where you're on an equal footing with somebody. And, I don't know, it's a hard thing to explain, but I kind of know it when I experience it. Trying to think of a couple examples, like, well, I mean, one that comes to mind, a really poignant one for me, was when I was dating Sayaka, who's my ex-wife now. We're good friends. We had been dating for, who knows, like a year or so, and then we decided to travel back to Japan together, and I got to meet her dad and her grandmother and her mom and stuff. And her dad and her grandmother and I and Sayaka went to an onsen, which is a Japanese hot spring. And I remember going to the onsen and it can be kind of embarrassing. It's like, oh, hey, your girlfriend's dad is, and you are just sitting naked in a pool of water. And that can be kind of intimidating. But afterwards, you know, we had a tea, and her grandmother's just delightful and really funny and has such a good spirit and stuff. And we you know, we went back to her house and she has a ping pong table. And so she was kicking my ass at ping pong. And I just remember just having this like, just really strong feeling like, wow, like I'm a total foreigner and everything. I'm a gaijin, but like I totally belong here in a weird way. And I felt accepted there. And it was just such a cool feeling for me. Yeah, it's easier when you're like living and you're established somewhere and you're living in a place. It's not as easy to do when you're just kind of passing through. You know, people see you as a tourist. And when you go to a place, you tend to get funneled into like tourist things. There's sort of a circuit of stuff that, you know, any city has. Like, oh, if you're coming to Portland, then you've got to go to the Rose Garden, and you've got to go to Multnomah Falls, and you've got to try microbeer, and you got to do this. And, you know, if you're, you know, every city's kind of got this like circuit, I would call it, you know, of a list of things to do that their travel industry sort of promotes. And sometimes it's fun to just do those things. And, for some people, it's not, it doesn't feel safe to kind of go off the beaten path a bit and just like this is why I like to like go to a city and just walk kind of randomly and not, you know, start off with just like what the prescribed route is or taking a guided tour, because I like to sometimes just experience things in my own way. So that's, you know, that's just part of like having your own experience. So these four buckets, these are what I would call my travel style. And I'm not at all saying that this is the right way and everybody should like follow my way. This is just my way. But, you know, if you have a different way of traveling and a different thing, I think where this comes into play is like when you're traveling with somebody, whether it's a romantic partner or with a friend or with a group. I've experienced and I've heard plenty of stories of people who just have completely different concepts of what they want their vacation to be. And then they don't talk about it. And then when they arrive at the place, it's like one person wants to just spend the whole time at museums and the other person wants to just go to like bars and clubs. And then immediately they start fighting and bickering and they're not happy and they have a horrible time. So, or like you're with a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever. And, let's say you're with your girlfriend and, you know, you want to stay at like a 4-star hotel and get awesome service and eat at amazing restaurants and try world-class food. And the other person wants, you know, just to eat street food and, you know, like hang out with the locals and stuff like that. Like that's a recipe for a kind of a miserable time because you just have like completely different travel styles. So if you're out there with a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a friend that you're planning a trip with, like have a conversation about that. Like, hey, what do you want to get out of this trip? Like how much culture do you want? How much partying do you want to do? How much sightseeing do you want to do? Or how much do you want to just adventure and just wander? All those things are super important to me, right? You know, I think if you can get on the same page about them, then you're going to have a much better experience when you travel. So I'll probably blog about this and write up this in the blog, which is goatrodeo.beer, by the way. I need to plug the blog. Anyway, I think it's one of the most important things to consider when you're traveling. So that's all for now. Episode number 4 is off and away, homies around the world, goatrodeo.beer.